Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video was brought to you by a donation from Mr. Anonymous. He wanted me to read a story called The Transition and give him my feedback about it. It's a bit on the long side, so I'll do that in just a sec. But first, let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, the MGTOW Book Collection. Tim Patton has written 5 MGTOW books. MGTOW is Forever is the latest and is a great introduction to MGTOW. If you've been injured on the job and need help, disabled and unable to work is for you. MGTOW Building Wealth and Power helps you empower your finances. Masculinity is Our Future is about how the world sees masculinity as toxic and what it means to be a man. Finally, MGTOW Why I Cheat. When a woman named Marcia read this book, she wanted to scream out loud, "Why is MGTOW a real thing?" Thanks for pushing her buttons, Tim. All 5 books can be found at the sponsor link down below. Anyways, here's what Mr. Anonymous has to say in his story, The Transition. Scene 1. Tina Smith, a 13-year-old biological female, is sitting across from her parents at their kitchen table. Tina says, "I've been waiting a few years to tell both of you this, but I can't hold this any longer. I was born in the wrong body, and I want to transition to the body and identity I know that I'm supposed to have." Both of Tina's parents were silent, with their mouths agape, and for a moment Tina thought that they were going to call her crazy and race her to the emergency psych ward. Tina says, "I knew it. I never should have told you." Tina's mother, "Honey, we would never think that you have a mental issue." Tina's dad, "I'm so happy that you felt comfortable sharing this with us. We are here for you, and we'll do all we can help you transition to the body that you should have been born with." Tina burst out crying as she ran around that kitchen table and group hugged them both, with tears flowing down her cheeks and over her mouth. Tina said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love both of you so much. You've made me so happy, and am now even more sure that God made the mistake of putting me in this body." Scene number 2. 8 months have passed since the breakfast table reveal. We find ourselves in Tina's psychiatrist's office. Tina and her parents are present. The psychiatrist says, "Hello, Tina. I did not tell you last week, but today is the most important day. That is why I asked your parents to sit down in on our session. I hold in my hand the official letter stating that you are mentally ready to go through with your transition surgery. Remember, there are many ignorant people out there that'll tell you that you have a mental illness called body dysmorphic disorder. They will say you actually have been born with all the body parts that you're supposed to have. Many will tell you that at the age of 13, you are much too young to have surgery that cannot be reversed. Trust me, as your psychiatrist, none of these things are true." Scene number 3. 8 weeks after the final psychiatrist session, they went to a school board planning and budget meeting. The Board of Education president says, "Tina, Mr. Smith, and Mrs. Klein-Smith, on behalf of the entire Board of Education, I have to express our sincere respect for your bravery and confidence. You are truly an example to all of us. We are here to let you know that we've approved all the modifications in the high school where Tina will be attending in September. The total cost is $750,000. If you want to see the full details of the spending within that budget, it's in the handouts you found on your seats when you arrived. I assure you it all includes the requests your attorney made. The changes have already started to be made to the high school. We will try and get as much of it done by your first day of fresh person year. When is your surgery?" Tina then says, "Over Christmas break." With that, there was a standing ovation by everyone in attendance. Tina was beaming with all the attention she was getting and had been getting since her big reveal at the kitchen table. Scene number 4. Christmas break. Pre-op at the hospital for transition surgery. Tina is on the gurney, flanked by her parents. Her mom is holding her right hand and her dad her left. Tina says, "Mom and Dad, you've made this journey so simple for me. If you had expressed any doubt at any time, I would not be here right now, with my surgeon in the operating room waiting to transform my body to the one I know I was supposed to be born with. I love both of you so much. In just a few hours, I'll be the Tina that God intended." Tina's parents each dropped their daughter's hand that they were holding, and then she was rolling through the operating theater's super-wide automatic doors, where her transition surgery team awaited. Scene number 5. Post-op. Tina spends 2 nights at the hospital, and then she's cleared to leave. Her parents went downstairs to pull the car up to the exit. As is usually the case with post-op patients, Tina would be taken downstairs in a wheelchair, so the nurse could make sure that she was safely seated in her parents' vehicle. Her parents pulled up to the exit and sat there unblinking to the automatic exit doors in front of them. Then there was a loud swoosh as the doors parted. Tina was in a wheelchair, a male nurse behind her, and there was their Tina. now with the body and identity God meant her to have. Her legs were gone. Her double amputee transition surgery was a complete success. Well, Mr. Anonymous, that certainly was an unexpected ending. I initially thought that the school was going to spend $750,000 on installing some new bathrooms. I should have known that that was the hint that they were doing something else. I've been seeing that detransitioning is now becoming the next big thing for attention-seeking teens. I put a link in the description to a channel called Rival Maverick, from a female to male back to female YouTuber, that has almost 100,000 subscribers. In the case of this fictional Hot Wheels hottie that you wrote about, Mr. Anonymous, maybe she can become the world's first person to transition from female to Hot Wheels to Olympic sprinter like Oscar Pistorius. Think of how many views and attention her journey would give her online. The detransitioning stories are becoming more popular lately. Our society is obsessed with giving people that are disabled things as if they were part of some sort of guilt complex. People are obsessed with installing million-dollar ramps and elevators on buildings to help the disabled. I agree that we should help the disabled, but before we mandated it, they relied on the natural charity from people in our society, which is now gone. Do you really think that fictional school was happy to shell out $750,000 for that girl, or was the principal and others just doing it to save face and virtue signal? The only reason our society can entertain the insanity of transitioning is because we have surplus wealth and people right now. But in coming decades, I suspect that many states will look down upon sexual reassignment sterilization and crazy things like people having to have the crazy desire to become part of the human Hot Wheels collection. There are people out there that have what is known as actrophilia, which is basically the amputee fetish. It's a form of paraphilia where the individual expresses strong interest in amputees. This 13-year-old girl should have gotten rid of her arms instead so she wouldn't be on her phone all the time. But then again, she might just end up looking like the second girl in the description that's a teenager with bionic arms. And she says it's cool to be different. So the girl in your story could detransition back to a walking woman. But having no legs and having fake bionic ones, even if they function really well, would probably bring a lot of attention to her from men in her lifetime. Because of neoteny, it would be the equivalent of wearing the world's largest pair of high heel shoes. There's studies showing that women with higher heels get more attention from men. As for the teen with the bionic arms, her video that I shared got almost 10 million views. I'm sure that over time there'll be a lot of leftists out there that'll say they don't need arms and legs because they can get bionic ones, and they'll use less energy because they don't have to have appendages that they have to consume extra food to support. They're pushing us to eat bugs now. In the future, I'm predicting they'll tell us to turn ourselves into transgendered versions of RoboCop with boobs. And if we say or do the wrong things, then they'll take away our bodies. Also, so the criminals will be more easily persuaded to put their hands somewhere while getting the handcuffs put on. Honk, honk. They'll push us to eat less bugs because we'll have a lot less body parts. It's all part of some sort of transhuman agenda. Of course, you'll probably never catch any elites augmenting their bodies. That's just for the plebs so they consume less resources and are more productive workers. Who needs arms and legs? Maybe it'll become more like the latest RoboCop movie where software will control your wetware. As for your story, Mr. Anonymous, it's a joke that takes 5 scenes to get to. It's funny because everyone reading it will obviously assume that Tina is getting rid of her giner and tatas and not her legs. It's funny because it shows that everyone supports her crazy decision to become selectively disabled. There are people that already do this, so it's not that far-fetched. The only time a person should consider amputation is when their existing limbs are causing so much pain that it's literally killing them or destroying their quality of life. Until you face something like that, then don't knock it. For the longest time, I mentioned that the skin around my nails was so painful that I wanted to kill myself. I've had chronic daily pain that's been horrific since the middle of 2017. I finally seem to have turned the page, and my skin is getting better as long as I do 4 things. Complete social isolation, antibiotics, a diet that's as close to zero as possible with regards to carbohydrates, and uninterrupted 7-8 hours of sleep each night. My recovery has been steady the last few months, so long as I keep doing those things. I would have chopped the tips of my fingers and toes off if I hadn't got it under control. I would have welcomed that amputation because of the pain. If you've ever been in that kind of pain, you'll understand where I'm coming from. I've even dealt with a kidney stone operation and had a catheter put inside of my schwing-schwang, and when it was taken out, it felt like I was pissing lava. That was the pain I felt after taking 2 morphine pills. I was also on Oxycontin for a week for the pain. Yes, that drug does actually have a purpose. Yet that was only level 10 pain for about a week. imagined level 7 or 8 for a couple of years. But to willingly cut something off for attention or YouTube fame is insane. But that's what I suspect that many people are doing, getting their body parts cut off, are actually going through. Some sort of mental illness. A couple of centuries from now, historians are going to be wondering how the hell we got to this point. I'd have to say that this is all being influenced by woke cultural Marxists that have been around for a while now. But it wasn't until the late 20-teens, or more specifically 2016, when Trump was elected, that all this stuff ramped up massively. Now we're seeing crazy things like gay black men getting to go to pride parades for free, while gay whites have to pay some sort of reparation fees to absolve themselves from the guilt because of slavery. By that logic, Biden should leave the White House because it was built by slaves, and then rebuilt after the Canadians burned it down after the War of 1812, again with slaves. Mr. Anonymous, the school board and parents had to give that kid her amputation operation, because if they didn't, then they would be targeted by wokesters, with soy-stained beards, wearing sundresses, trying to destroy their lives. We're seeing that in Canada, where if a father doesn't allow his 5, 6, or 7-year-old kid to begin their transition, and if he refuses to call them by their preferred pronouns, he gets dragged, no pun intended, in front of a human rights tribunal kangaroo court. I guess that we Canadians are lucky, because it looks like we'll actually get to keep the maple leaf on our flag, because it's red, instead of replacing it with the rainbow one just yet. Maybe if they change the official color of the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey team to red and start calling them the Red Leafs, they might finally throw off their curse and finally win the Stanley Cup one day. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Mr. Anonymous for your donation and transformational story. Don't forget to smash the like button, the way that guys into amputee chicks will be lining up to smash that double amputee's box. And I'm guessing her name is Helena. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Gab, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45 US. And I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps the one-legged women out of those ass-kicking competitions away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.